Podcast, Season 2, Future Rich is what we're all about. And I am Barbara Ginty, your host, and also a CFP, which is a Certified Financial Planner. And I am here with my guest, Sonora. And you got your fake name from a movie?
Yeah, it's called Wild Hearts Can't Be Broken.
Oh, cool. Very nice. We have much more creative names this year, which is exciting. So tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, city, suburb, state, age, all the details.
Okay. I live in Gulf Shores, Alabama, kind of a suburb. I don't live like on the coast or anything like that, about 25 minutes away. I am 33 and I'm a marriage and family therapist.
Ooh, really?
Yes.
Ooh, this is exciting.
And I moved down here to be with my fiance a year ago. Actually, today we moved, a year ago today.
Oh, I was like, you moved today and you're doing the podcast? That's aggressive.
A year ago today.
Okay.
Yeah,
And where did you move from?
Atlanta.
Oh, or are you up there originally?
I'm from Birmingham, Alabama, so kind of right there in the middle. I've lived like most of my adult life in Atlanta. So this was a pretty big change coming down here.
Yeah, I was going to say, would you call it a city or no?
No, I mean, it's super touristy down here and everything's really spaced out. And so there are shops and restaurants and everything, but everything closes down by like 9 o'clock. So it doesn't have the city feel.
Got it.
Okay. Definitely laid back and relaxed atmosphere.
Cool. So you moved down there a year ago to be with your fiance.
Mm-hmm.
And when are you getting married?
March 16th.
That's in less than 2 months.
Yeah, I know.
Are you ready?
I think like a new wave of nausea and anxiety swipes over me every day. But
besides that feeling.
I mean, I think I have a pretty good, we're pretty good. So the big stuff's out of the way. Now I believe I'm going to die from tiny details. It's like the tiniest stuff that you don't even think about.
And
you're like, oh, I've got to plan that out.
Oh, I'm sure. So tell me a little bit about, because I want to get into like how you budget it and how you're paying for the wedding. So what's your income like being a therapist? Are you on your own or are you with a practice or?
Yeah, I work for a company. And so right now I make $33,000 a year. And, because of moving from Georgia to Alabama, the licensure qualifications are a little bit different, and the board down here only meets quarterly. Okay. And I didn't start my full-time position until October, so the board hasn't met since they meet actually on January 25th. So I'm hoping that the licensing board passes me, and when I do that, I'll get I'll make $38,000 once I get licensed.
Okay, very nice. You get a nice little bump.
Yeah.
Now, are you living with your fiance now?
Yeah.
And then what, so are you guys splitting the finances or how are you figuring that out?
Yeah, so we pretty much, I'm in charge of all of it. He kind of handed me his box of bills when I moved in.
Was it really in a box?
Yes, like if you've seen that New Girl episode where Nick had the box, yeah, it was literally a box. So that was like a fun, it was like shocking. Then I got over that and then I was like, okay, let me dig into this. So he's been really awesome to just kind of hand it over to me. I've like all this stuff like budgeting and figuring finances out and paying bills. Like, I don't know. I like all that stuff. So it doesn't bother me, but it does. It is an extra layer of stress because I can't control where he spends the money. But
you're just like, no, don't do that.
Yeah, no, but it's much better now because we have a system and he's like, I guess like more open and agreeable to my suggestions. And I've tried to work out a balance to make sure that he's still getting to spend his money on the stuff he wants to spend it on and the bills are still being paid and all that.
So it's really interesting. I'm asking some more questions about how couples do their finances because we definitely get a lot of single people on or single parents and, you know, so they're fully in charge. It's interesting to see the dynamic with a couple because it can be like a joint effort or it could be one or the other. So how have you figured it out? Because it seems like you're definitely running the show here.
So it's been pretty hard, and I was trying to find advice on how to merge finances and all that. And I didn't find a lot. Like, I was listening to a lot of financial podcasts and all that, and they're just really, like you're saying, it just was mostly focused on being single and all that. And so it's been kind of a just see how it goes and like try something out. And like, I don't know, it can be hit or miss. But like I said, he's been really good about just handing over the reins and letting me kind of dictate where things go.
So did you like have a sit, like, I'm always curious, did you have a sit down? Cause I, besides doing the podcast, I'm an advisor. So I meet with people all the time, and there is no, in my opinion, there is no right or wrong way to do it. It just, it's all very different depending on the couple. Right. So yeah. Some people are more apt at it than others and want to take it over. And then other couples I see are, you know, 50-50. And then it just really depends. I would say it is more common. I don't know. I want to say it's more common that the guys are running the show with the finances from what I've seen.
Oh.
But ironically, the guys might be in charge of running the finances, but ultimately the woman is the one who's going to make the decision, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, so the guys might have all of the paperwork and like the bill pays and like have everything organized and like be the one with the plan. But if the woman is like, no, I don't like that advisor, or I don't like this accountant, they're not going to be able to work with them.
Oh, that makes sense.
So like they're more like the ultimate decision maker.
Yeah.
But that's not to say that that's right or wrong. I tend to work in my practice with older clients, right? So a little bit more traditional.
Mm-hmm. I think one thing that's like stood out with us is this has definitely been like a year of exploring the relationship and kind of how we work together, because mm-hmm. we went from living long distance to living together. And so one thing that we really realized is that me in particular, and kind of the psychology of women, is that women they view money as more of like a security thing. And I can definitely say that's true for me. Like, having money in the bank is a security blanket for me, just knowing that I've got money if something were to come up. And then guys are more likely to use money to help boost their self-esteem or to gain respect. And so, and that's true of my fiance too, is like, he will be more apt to spend money because he's going to have fun with his friends, or because, you know, this will look good or whatever. And so that's, to me, it's been more of like how we view money that's been the problem, versus like, because like I said, he's been open to letting me into all of his bank accounts and kind of handle all that. And that hasn't been the issue. It's just more how we value money that's been the issue.
Yeah, kind of the reasonings behind the money, right? So what's like, purpose it serves for you versus what purpose it serves for him.
Exactly.
Oh, that's really interesting. Yeah, because I definitely see that too, that women feel more comfortable having more money in the bank.
Yeah.
As a security blanket. But yeah, but that being said, it's interesting because, yeah, when you listen to podcasts, there's really, I don't think there's a right way to do it or a wrong way to do it. It's just whatever works for each couple, right? Because everyone's different. Everyone's relationship is different. So therefore, their relationship with money and how they're going to handle that will be different.
Yeah, for sure.
And it sounds like you... I mean, you didn't say you had your bills in a box. So I have a feeling you're better at it than your fiance.
A little more organized than him.
Okay.
For sure.
That's always a good thing when it comes to your finances.
So we decided to kind of split it. I mean, he's living in his own house and he's been paying all of his bills, you know, for the most part. So we just kind of let his money stay paying his bills. And so then my money went to paying all my new bills. Cause when I came down here, I didn't have a job. Well, actually I did, but it fell through. And then It took a while. It took like 2 months, I think, before I started working. And at that time I was only working part time. So I definitely like was not, I like was only making enough money to cover my expenses. And then of course my car died like the month after I moved down here. So we had to buy a car.
Oh no.
So it was, like, that was a big added expense, too. But so he was definitely bearing the brunt. His money was going mostly to pay all the bills. And at that point, it did really feel like we were just surviving and, like, getting by. We were putting, like, I think, like, $1,200 on the credit card every month. And
oh,
so,
wow. Because what was your job? How much were you making before when you were in Atlanta?
I know. I was trying to remember. I think I was just doing my taxes the other day. So I think I was making around maybe like 38 or 39.
Okay, so you're like in the ballpark. Once you get approved by the board, you'll be back to where you were in Atlanta, give or take.
Yeah, it should be really good down here. The cost of living is
And the
much.
cost less, right?
Oh, yeah, much less.
But your salary will stay about the same.
Yeah, it should be really good.
That's fantastic. Okay, and so then, so you're in charge. So are you, now that you're employed and you aren't doing the part-time, are you chipping? Does he have a mortgage?
Yeah, he has a mortgage, which I
Okay.
was going to ask you about, like, if it would be wise for me to get my name on the mortgage too, but we can talk about that later because
Yeah,
that's
I
more
was
like.
actually going to ask you about when you get married. Are you planning, is he going to put your name on the mortgage or not?
So he's pretty much open to everything. So the situation is that he got hurt in Afghanistan, and so he had to retire from the army.
Oh
And
no.
so he's on.
Disability.
Yeah, he's on a fixed income, and like he, because his, none of his income is taxable.
That's 'cause he's on disability, correct?
Yeah, and
Yep.
so I was like, well, I don't know if I should add my name to the mortgage because I don't know. It's like all these, those questions are over my head. So yeah, I don't know like what all we should actually combine
Did
if we should.
he buy the house using a VA loan, do you know?
Yeah, he did.
Okay. I'm just jotting that down. And so his income is he probably gets something from the military and then probably maybe Social Security disability. Does that sound right?
Yeah, he gets both of those.
Both of those. Okay. So that's his in and that's his only income, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll come back to the house question in a minute.
Okay.
But so then are you, so his I income is Social Security disability and his military, it's a pension he's on now?
I don't know if that's
Or
how they,
I
I
don't think
guess.
that's how they, I don't think that's what they call it, but he gets money from the military as well for being injured.
That's right. Well, yeah, for it's like the retired, whatever that classification is, yeah.
And so then that covers all of the housing. Well, before you moved in, it was covering all the housing and everything.
Yeah, that was covering all of his bills.
Okay, because what is the mortgage a month?
The mortgage is 875, and that includes what does it include? Property taxes and pretty much everything with the house. Yeah, it includes the homeowner's insurance and I think everything, really.
Okay, cool. That's fantastic. So how are you doing it now that you're employed? Are you throwing in for the mortgage or are you guys keeping it separate or what's have you talked about what the plan is?
Yeah, so I try to give us a $0 budget
Oh, I love that.
every month. And that's been, we've been doing that since November, October, November. So it's still a little, still working out some of the kinks.
Kinks, okay.
But basically, all of his money still goes to all of his bills and like the house bills. So like the water bill and the power bill and all that.
Okay.
And then, the part where we were spending like $1,200 on the credit card, that was like grocery money
Okay.
and like gas and all that. And so now we aren't putting that on the card. So we've done pretty good the past, I think since like August, we or maybe September, we haven't put anything on the credit card. So that's going much better. But yeah, so it's still he's paying his bill and bills and I'm paying my bills, but a lot of that is my Amex bill is like $480 every month because of how high it is. And so
Right.
I feel like that's like a car payment in and of itself.
Yeah, no. So what, so how much do you have on the credit cards?
Okay, so we've got three credit cards between us. The Amex has 18,000 on it. Do you want the interest rate?
Yep.
18.74. He has a Visa that he no longer uses. It has 3,200 and that's at 17.9%. And then I have a Visa that has 1650 on it, and that's 13.9%.
So $1,650. Okay, just double checking. Okay, and the Amex that came from when you guys were putting the 1,200 a month when you were moved down there without a and didn't have income. Okay.
Yeah, I ended up like adding him to my like having him, whatever, a card issued to him. So he like has access to that account too.
Okay.
We were both using it.
And so then how much are you putting a month on the credit cards and how much per card?
So right now we're doing the minimum payments on all of them.
Okay.
The Amex, like I said, is it like kind of fluctuates, but it's normally around like $480. Okay. And his Visa is $66 and mine is $39.
Okay. Now I have a question. Did any of the wedding stuff go on that Amex?
No.
Okay.
We have a different fund for that.
Okay. So do you have any student loan debt or does he have any student loan debt?
He doesn't have any, and I do have student loan debt.
Okay.
Mine's like super high.
Okay.
Trying to do the loan forgiveness program with that, so it doesn't really bother me. And I know I'm supposed to count it as my debt, but I don't really because it's going to be forgiven one day, hopefully. So I have, oh, I don't have the total, but it's, I'll just tell you them. It's, there's eight of them.
There are eight. Oh, okay. Because did you get a, was this all for undergrad or did you get a master's?
This was all for graduate school. Graduate. I didn't have any loans getting out of undergrad and then.
So this is all for your graduate degree?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like 140,000, 150,000 or something.
Wow. Okay. And what payment, and are you on a certain like income-based repayment?
Yeah.
And is that the exact one you're on, the income-based repayment?
The, yeah, income-based repayment plan.
And what do you pay a month?
So it was $134 a month.
Okay.
But then when I started working part-time, or when I had the part-time job, so that happened when it was time to, like, review or resubmit my application. And yep. I qualified for zero.
Whoa.
So now I'm not paying anything on it.
But it'll probably go back up.
Yeah, when I resubmit, I think I resubmit in August or September, it'll go back up.
And we are having, I don't know if you saw, I do some work with Leslie Tain, and she's a student loan debt attorney. So we're having her on as a guest. But I believe you're in the income-based repayment program, so they forgive your debt. Is it after 20 or 25 years?
Okay, so I'm doing the nonprofit route.
You're nonprofit, so okay.
When I was in Atlanta, the company I worked for was nonprofit for 3 years out of the four that I worked there. They got bought out by a for-profit company. So I've got those 3 years, and then the company I'm at now is also a nonprofit. And so, like, come February, I will have been there. Actually, the first 6 months don't count because that was part-time, but so I guess that'll start over in October. So basically I'll need to work for this company for 7 more years and then they'll forgive whatever's left. But you have to make your minimum payment, whatever it is, for all of the months of the 10 years. Yep. So I'll probably be a year behind because of them saying I owed $0 right now.
Right, because yeah, I think it's consecutive payments. And the other thing, you have to go through and make sure that you, I want to say the word validate, but it's not the right way because it has to be documented. Recertified. Yes. It has to be recertified, I think is the right word.
Are you talking about the paperwork from the loan company?
Yes, the paperwork for being in the nonprofit income-based repayment program.
Yeah, so I've got that paperwork submitted. Yeah,
isn't it a two-step process?
I think it's for every company that you work for. It's, you fill out part of it, and then the company has to, like, verify that you worked for them during that time or whatever.
Yes. Okay, good. That's fantastic. So then because you're a nonprofit, you fall into the 10-year rather than it's either 20 or 25.
Yeah, that's right.
Fantastic. Okay, good. And I believe with the nonprofit one, there isn't the tax burden at the end of it, but I will have to check on that for you.
Okay. That would be at the end, the loan paid off, I would have to pay tax on the loan?
Yeah, so the way it works with the government, because with a lot of the federal programs for the student loans, they didn't coordinate with the IRS. And so when you have a debt discharge, so in English, if you have a debt forgiven, they treat the amount that they forgive in debt as income to you. So let's say you said you have $150,000 forgiven, they treat it as if you have income of $150,000.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so which means that if you know, worked your regular year and made $38,000 and then had, technically, it's not real income, right? Because you're not getting, no one's sending you a check, but they're forgiving your debt, and they forgive your debt for $150,000. That goes in as income, so that could cause a big tax problem for you.
Oh, okay.
You get the debt forgiven, but then you owe taxes, right?
Yeah, okay.
But I don't think that happens with the nonprofit, but I will definitely check on it because I don't have all the rules memorized all the time.
Yeah, that's a lot of rules.
There's a lot of rules out there. So yeah, I can check on that and I will get back to you, and we can add that to the notes for the podcast about exactly how it works with the nonprofit income-based repayment program. So I'm just going to mark that down so we can get back to you on that.
Okay.
But then, so what's the plan? Do you have a plan with, so you have the mortgage, which is $875. Right now you're not having a payment on the student loans, but you will have a payment of probably $134. And then I imagine you both have car payments?
No, which that was another thing that's causing like a ton of stress. So like I said, when I moved down here, my car died. I had it for like 11 or 12 years. And so it finally gave up on us. And he had just a few months earlier, he had totaled his car, in a wreck. And so he was driving, he has like this really old truck that's like older than me. And, it's not a good, you know, get to and from. And so we had to get a car. So we went and bought a car together. And so we have the car and then he drives the truck. But because I work like 25 miles away, I take the car to work. And so we share the car and he like tries to drive the truck as little as possible. The truck is completely paid off, but our car is $463 a month.
All right. So then as a household, what do you know what you're bringing in total?
Yeah.
Okay.
So a month we bring in $5,400.
Okay, so then after we take out the mortgage and we take out, let's see here, the car payment and $463. Because I want to see if we can get, it would be great if we could get rid of your credit card debt, right?
Yeah, I don't know if it's more, yeah, no, that is very important.
Well, what were you thinking? Because you just have some high interest rates there.
You're very high. So the goal was to try to be debt-free with the wedding, which so far we are. And then the car situation is really
frustrating.
A lot of stress that we, like his daughters live like 4 hours away. And so every other weekend he's having to go get them. And we're just putting like so many miles on this car. It was not a good car, a good like economic car to get.
Okay.
And so really it's just causing a lot more stress than anything because it only takes premium gas and we're driving it so much because of being out here like in the suburbs and everything. And then he has to drive up there every other weekend. It's just very stressful.
Yeah. Have you thought about maybe leasing a car?
I don't know because you have to have less than however many miles a month.
Yeah, because I'm just thinking because if you're –
so I'm driving like 50.
Yeah, how many miles are you driving?
Miles a day.
How many miles?
It's like 50 plus a day because I think it's like 25 there, 25 miles there.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you're probably going to be better off than buying a car just because of how many miles you're going to be driving.
So we had thought about like right now all of our extra money goes into the wedding fund.
Okay.
And so after the wedding, we were thinking, okay, we'll just put all that and save up like a couple thousand dollars and get a car, just like a whatever car that I can just drive back and forth to work. Mm-hmm. The only other thing we thought of was like selling the car, but right now we owe more on it than what it's actually worth.
Yeah, he bought it new, or you guys bought it new?
Yeah. Yeah, I owe like $3,000 more according to like Kelly Blue Book or whatever that thing is.
Yep. once you drive it, you know, you drive it, it's not worth as much after. Some cars hold their value, but most cars don't. Because I'm just looking kind of at your budget. It looks like You should, I mean, after all of your expenses, you have about $3,400 a month left over, you know, not including food and, you know, this is just after rent, not rent, sorry, after mortgage, car payment, and credit card bills, with the minimum. So, but I would imagine that's the what you've been using to help fund the wedding that's coming up in less than 2 months.
Yeah, but that doesn't include like our utilities either.
Right. Yeah, that's just saying. So you probably spend how much you have on utilities and food app. So we you have
Okay.
3,400 after those bills that you've given me.
Yeah. Okay. 'Cause we do for
So
like
like.
our groceries and gas, we do like 1150 a month to cover
Okay.
that. And then I also put money aside each month for whatever our yearly bills are, like homeowners association
Insurance.
and
Okay.
car insurance. Well, that's every 6 months, but so I put that money away every month too.
Perfect, so that you have it when the bill comes due, but you make it, you pay it monthly to yourself.
That's right.
Perfect. So what do you think you, what do you have left over after you're looking at the gas, insurance, homeowners, food?
What's left? Yeah, I think just normal stuff like phone bill.
Oh yeah, but how much money do you have left over? So after you pay all your
Okay.
bills, yeah.
Well, child support would be another one that you'd have to add on there. Child support,
Absolutely.
650.
Okay, so that's another big one.
I don't have it broken down how much is left over after the big bills are paid, but it looks like if you included the mortgage and everything, that comes out to be about like $3,000 for all of the bills.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think that's probably right. I think you probably have around 2,000 left over, give or take, a month, technically. Not saying that you have that sitting available in your bank account at the end of the month because it's easy to get that spent, you know, between two people over the course of a month. And I'm imagining that a lot of that extra is going towards or has been going towards wedding stuff, right? Photographer and getting those, because you said right now you don't owe anything on the wedding.
Yeah, right now we're okay.
Okay. And do you have any big bills coming up for that?
Yes. Well, we do, but we've got the fund running for that, so we should be fine.
Okay. And then do you have an emergency fund and savings besides?
Yeah, we have an emergency fund too. It has 1180 in it right now. We like got to the 1,000 and we were like, okay, that's enough.
Good job. And then what about like regular savings or retirement or anything?
Yes, so I only have 5,000 in my retirement.
Okay, and is yours a 403B?
Yes.
Cool, because you're a nonprofit. Okay, and what about your fiance?
Well, I guess he dips into his retirement every month. They just send it to him.
Oh, okay.
That's like all he gets, yeah.
Okay, so he didn't have a thrift plan or anything like that. Okay.
Or he might have, and he might have already cashed it out, I don't know.
Okay. So in terms of saving, you have your emergency fund at 1180, and then you have your retirement, which is yours is a 403B because you're a nonprofit.
Yeah, I'm trying to merge the when the company switched over, the old company, when it switched over to for profit, it went to a 401k,
401k, yep.
and they haven't rolled it over yet. I have to go through the company for them to do it instead of through the retirement, the people holding it, so they haven't rolled it over yet.
And sometimes they won't let you roll 401k into 403B. You might have to roll a 401k in just into a traditional IRA.
Okay.
So you just have to ask them. But yeah, I would say for you guys, the wedding is up. I agree with you that maybe you want to just get through the wedding first and make sure that you get through that without any, you know, taking on any more credit card debt.
Yeah.
And then after the wedding, I'm like torn between having you get a car and then do the credit cards. I think if it's going to make your life less stressful, then maybe look to get a car.
Okay.
Because in 1 month, if you guys stick to a really a strict budget, you should be able to save, like, I would hope between like $1,000 or $2,000 post wedding. So you could use that money to put down on a car. And I would just try and keep your car payment low. So I would just get like a pretty bare bones car.
Yeah.
Just something that's really good on gas and reliable and not that expensive.
Exactly. Lesson
Yeah.
learned.
And then that way, you know, your fiance, if he's driving 8 hours, can take the car that is more cost effective for gas, right? But yeah, I would do that because you could probably, I think, hopefully get a car somewhere around $200 or $300 if you just go, no luxuries.
The bare bones,
Yeah,
like
just
you
get the bare
said.
bones. I mean, the car dealers don't like to sell that to you, but like if you get something with none of the upgrades, just like the basic model, like which isn't glamorous, but hey, it's nice. Then that you'll each have a car, right? So that's an upgrade. Everything's relative, I think.
Yeah.
And then that way you can add that into your regular budget. And then from there, what I would do is look to really pay down the credit cards.
Do you recommend like Snowball or Avalanche?
I was just talking about this. You're my second guest tonight. So I was just talking about the snowball method. To be honest, I really prefer the method that you think is going to work best for you because what I like to see is people succeed. And it, as we talked about, money has different purposes and meanings for different people.
Yeah.
And people feel more successful depending on their personality, right? So I think if looking at it, you just have to tell me how you think you're going to work best. But if I was looking at it, I would say if it were me, I would probably kill the visas first, starting with the smallest one.
Yeah.
Just because I think that you can really get that small one done in 1 month, and I think you can get the bigger one done in 2 to 2.5.
Okay. That's kind of what I was thinking, because the 18K, it just is so looming.
It's yeah, it's gonna you're gonna have to kind of buckle down for a longer time frame, which might you and then I don't know. I just that the small ones you can get done in such like in 1 month, you'll have one card paid off. I think that will be a great feeling.
What are your thoughts on debt consolidation to like lower the interest rates?
So my you could I think that here's what my thought is. You can look to do qualify for a 0% APR card, and you can consolidate them on that 0% APR card if you qualify for it. I would look to qualify for one that's greater than 12 months, 12 months at a minimum, but you could look for something for 18 months. And then that means they're going to charge you 0% interest for that entire time as long as you make your payment. So I always recommend that you set it up auto with that because if you don't make a payment, they charge you a penalty APR and it's really steep and they can backdate that APR.
Okay.
So but you will pay a balance transfer fee.
Yeah.
So you can it's definitely if you have some free time, which you're planning a wedding, so I'm sure you don't have a ton. But you could go onto one of the sites and just see if you qualify and what the fees are and kind of compare. But I really think that you could buckle down and get that one visa done in 1 month, so in 30 days.
Okay.
And then I think you can get the second one done probably in two if you did, like 1500 a month, 1600 a month. So if you set aside 1600 or if you need 1650 for the bottom one, but 1650 a month for 3 months, you would get rid of off those two Visa cards.
Okay, yeah.
And then you wouldn't be paying a transfer fee for those two at least. And then you could consider, if nothing else, just moving the Amex to a 0% card. Just because the interest rate is almost 19% and it's 18,000. So if you continue with the plan of just socking away, 1600 a month, and that's what we plan on post wedding, you could get the neck that Amex paid off in just under a year.
You think so?
Yep. With six,
Wow.
if you put 1600 a month on it and if you have it on a 0% APR card, yeah, you should get it paid off in about a year.
That would be amazing. I was thinking it would take like 3 years.
No, I think the key though, I think I would definitely look to put the 18,000 on a 0% card
Okay.
because it'll eliminate you paying 19% interest for a year, which is a lot of interest.
Yeah.
So let's just see. We'll do that real quick. Yeah, that's a lot of interest. So I would put the 18,000. I think it's worthwhile to pay a balance fee on that one to get that over to a card. Where you could get, I would try and get 18 months because then that'll give you some wiggle room with the wedding.
Okay.
Get the two visas paid off and then tackle the Amex. But your goal should be 1600 a month that you're putting on the credit cards.
Okay, so that'll be okay.
So what you want to do is you want to sit down and do your budget, kind of like when we were talking about all your bills, but you want to put a line item for credit cards at 1600 and then you want to see what you have left over.
Okay.
So you want to put that as at the top. So you know how you do, you have our income's 5,400, and then here's our mortgage and child support, and you want to throw credit cards in at 1,600.
Okay. So just add it, yeah.
Add it
Okay.
in and just, yeah, make it one of your bills. Because then once that's those credit cards are done, I would use that to save for retirement.
Yeah, I want to right now I do the 5% because of the company match,
Oh,
and I want to,
perfect.
I want to do whatever, a lot more.
Yeah, well, think about it. Once you get rid of the credit cards, and you can totally do that. I mean, my guess is by next March, this time, so post-wedding, and then I follow a year and 2 months, you'll have everything paid off for the most part for the credit cards. And
That
then
would
you
be
can,
awesome.
yeah, and then you can start using that money to put towards retirement, vacation, you know, other goals.
Yeah, okay.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense. It's a little daunting, but it makes sense. And that's our ultimate goal is to be debt free, so.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, and I think, I mean, I would focus on just the wedding and getting that 18,000 over to a 0% card to give you some breathing room, and then get the two visas and then that one. But 12 months will go really fast.
Yeah.
I'm sure, you know, the time will go by.
Yeah, it will.
And then next year when we do a follow-up with you, you'll be debt-free.
That would be amazing.
Well, we'll wrap up the podcast. I'll answer some more questions for you offline, but thank you so much for being a guest. Do you have any questions for me with the listeners listening?
No, I don't think so. I think you've answered all my questions.
Cool. Well, for the listeners at home, this is the second time you're hearing about the debt snowball, but you can find out more at our in our classes that are offered online through SUNY, which is the State of New York University System, and they're found at www.planancial.com. Thanks for listening.